Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm John Motson and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hello indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble, back once again like the Renegade Master. I'm joined by Pete.
Hello.
Lukey.
All right.
And James or Jim.
Evening.
Today's David Batty's birthday.
It is, yes.
Oh, well done.
How old
is he? You don't know, do you?
He's old enough. And what is your favourite David Batty moment from when his life began?
It's got to be...
straight in there, Lukey.
It's got to be the Rocky ad with that Graham and Sol against Spartak Moscow. Because I sort of, at one point, sort of in one hand, on one hand it was really compelling viewing, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. On the other hand, it was like, well, Graham and Sol, oh, you're hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? Picking on Graham and Sol.
I'm pretty sure that happened because he was annoyed that Graham and Sol had called him Batty.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Never know, do you?
Well, I'm actually going to go for David Batty's performance against Argentina in France 98. Obviously, he missed a penalty in that game, but he was absolutely immense in that whole tournament, actually, to be fair to him. Really, I think he's a really underrated player in retrospect, actually, David Batty.
I think that's fair, and I think because it's his birthday, it's only fair you point that out. Give him a bit of credit.
Yeah.
Rather than just sullying his name straight away like you did.
Sorry about that, David, if you're listening. You're definitely not, but he's he's not a sort of player that got an awful lot of credit, so I think that's fair enough. Yeah.
Peter.
He made Newcastle very defensive, which we didn't need.
Just on his own.
Well, yeah.
Which you didn't need. Even now, you people can't see, can you?
You people.
You lot. Where I found out that it was David Batty's birthday, yes, I am pinning that on myself.
Well done.
They noted that one of their particular highlights, it's probably my highlight as well, was when, I think it was Channel 5, showed a picture of him that they'd photoshopped in suspenders and stockings to illustrate Ruud Gullit's sexy football.
Oh, my God!
It was the Cup Winners' Cup from Russell Trail sort of thing. It was very, very strange. But no, I think
we're supposed to be honouring him for his birthday. This is backfired.
OK. Well,
Marcus?
Let me pick it up again. I think it was their... I forget which league campaign it was. It was maybe about 10 years ago. Might have been Newcastle's second game of the season, and they played Wimbledon at home. Alan Shearer scored a free kick for the second, and I think it was Batty who got the first, and it was a lovely little half-volley side-footer from about 30 yards, 40.
Oh,
Neil Sullivan had, the previous week, had been lobbed by Beckham. It was that season.
I remember that.
And then at St James's Park, Batty kind of, it was a beautiful sort of side-foot half-volley, dinked it over him in off the bar. That's my favourite David.
Was that
Batty
Shearer's
moment.
Debut goal?
It might well have been. Yeah. Might well have been. That was.
David Batty would like to remember that on his birthday, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure he would do. Sure he would.
So he sat at home in his stockings and suspended.
Apparently, punching a picture of Graham Lassard.
Was it David? Whilst marshalling at the England defence.
Was it David Batty, though? Am I right in saying that? Like, in the afternoons after football training, he'd do, like, load of sort of painting and decorating work because he never thought of being a footballer was, like, a proper job.
I hope so.
Yeah, I really hope so. I think that's true. I think I've heard that before.
Do you want your trellis doing? Call me, David Batty.
Creosote your fence, I'll do it for you. Oh, you want to do it.
I'm going to take the points this week.
Fair enough, isn't it?
Because I bloody deserve
Fix.
Them.
Since, like, the middle of last week when I found that these points don't actually exist, and I don't care.
I still
I thought
care.
We were building up to a prize at the end of the season.
Don't ruin it for the listeners.
What's the cash value of winning this?
Yeah, Jack Warner.
Because I thought...
You don't win Jack Warner.
Because every time I won the points, I was looking at my fantasy football team, and I wasn't moving.
No, they won't do. The points translate into euros.
Do they?
Yeah. Which would have come in handy because we were in Barcelona last week.
Yeah, sorry about the show being late in that. But we had loads of stuff better to do. I'm only joking.
You bastard.
I was very tired.
I don't mind saying it.
Yeah, it was a wonderful trip and a great game and a great experience. I think we can all agree
on that.
It was ridiculous. I was watching the Arsenal match at the weekend. And even Arsenal, one of the more attractive football teams that we have in the Premier League, I was going, this is nowhere near as good. Why aren't they doing, like, inch-perfect threaded passes?
I could never go back to Fratton Park again. Ever.
It is amazing, that stadium. One thing you don't really realise from the TV is that it doesn't have a roof on it, which I wasn't aware of.
One side's got a little bit.
Yeah, a tiny little bit.
But you're right, we were right
up at the back and at one point.
In the terracing for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. Marcus and I had to sort of pelt down to the stadium again. Running around European football stadiums is becoming a habit.
It is, but I quite enjoy it.
Well, the other half live, AP.
Yeah.
Well, you were with us this time.
Yes. But so we had to stand right up at the top because we literally couldn't find our seat. Yeah, but it was really, really good because of that. But there were bifters everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. There was so much marijuana in that stadium. When we eventually found our seats, there were two blokes sitting next to us, openly smoking, shelling peanuts and just pissing themselves every time Barcelona did something good, which is about every 30
it
seconds.
It was like having Cheech and Chong next to us. They absolutely loved it. Done a bit of skill again. Obviously in Spanish.
We nipped in for a quick pint on the way to the stadium, and we sort of underestimated the distance, so we had to leg it, and then...
Hang on a minute, quick pint.
Well, it's a massive pint.
But I had a Fanta.
Yeah, you did.
But that was also massive.
Yeah. It was like a well of Fanta.
I put Lemsip in my beer to make a nice beery Lemsip.
We got to the stadium and then I realised we were right on the very top and we were going to have to run up, literally 25 flights of stairs. Right? I almost died on the way up. Yeah. I felt for Jim's safety.
I very nearly died.
Yeah. It was worth it in the end, though.
It was.
Superb experience.
Good game.
In all seriousness, if you've not been, then you really should take any opportunity you can because it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, it is. I don't think
if you're a professional footballer and there were clubs after you and stuff, and Barcelona were one of them, I can't see how you choose any other team.
Well, David Villa was crying, wasn't he? When the move didn't happen.
We were crying.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah.
I was crying on the Wednesday morning. I'll tell you, my hangover. Listening to the sound of Pete being sick.
Yeah.
See, I was sick, wasn't I?
You were sick a couple of times. See, I was very, very ill, so I had to go back to the hotel room after the game.
Can you bring the violin sound in there, please?
Yeah, and what happened was at about 5:30 in the morning, I could hear everyone else outside. Pete going, "Let's bundle him! Let's bundle him!" And Luke going, "He's ill! It's out of order! He's ill!" And then Pete and Lord Ramble just sort of... crashed in anyway, jumped all over me. Lord Ramble elbowed me in the balls, right? And like you just sort of rocking me up and down. And Pete went, What are we doing? And Lord Ramble just goes, "Just grab some flesh." That's really quite weird.
Yeah. We spent upwards of about 5 hours in a nightclub getting progressively drunk. I was trying to get Marcus drunk on Baileys and the
Baileys over 2 hours isn't gonna be
boozy chocolate milk. Yeah.
That's a good milkshake that. I put them all together.
but the night ended in... Was the nightclub called Kabul? Or was that the one next to
us?
Terrible. But the night ended with Luke sort of miming to Mustang Sally by himself on the stage with me, Marcus and Lord Ramble behind him.
I can't emphasise enough how deserted the club was. There's like literally no one. If Jay Redknapp was there, he'd go in and he'd go, "It's literally empty." Yeah. We're the only people in there.
But also, he might say, "It's a lovely little club."
Yeah. Should we stop talking about ourselves?
No. Another weird thing that happened actually is Pete babbles Geordie nonsense in the night. He doesn't say words. He just sort of makes really, really weird noises. And at one point, he rolled over in the night because the beds were pushed together for some weird reason in that hotel.
Yeah,
and
he
tapped me on the shoulder and just went bip 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 bip. And I thought he was awake. And then he just started making strange Geordie noises. Rolled over again and went to sleep.
I was resetting
Bizarre.
Myself.
If in all seriousness, if you ever do get the chance to spend an evening in a hotel room with Pete, then I seriously recommend it. It's a brilliant thing to do.
Sleeping with a Geordie is about to be officially sanctioned as an extreme sport.
They do it in New Zealand.
Right, yeah, is that right?
I'm a Geordie robot.
not even a Jordy.
If I may drag it back to the reason why we're there, Barcelona won 2-0 against Inter and made them look ordinary. I don't know
they did.
You know, if anybody had the pleasure of watching it,
I've never seen such fantastic football. It was bizarre to watch men with such confidence in each other's abilities just threading balls through the smallest of gaps and just knowing.
Well, since the ramble last night,
the Iniesta thread is one of my favourite things. And Danny Alves is not a right back; he's a right-sided player. They just say, "Danny, we'll all go over here. You just take the right
side
of the pitch."
But they never picked him up. They never picked him up. He was constantly overlapping.
They couldn't.
Well, he did set up the second goal for Pedro.
We picked that game because we thought it was going to be a really sort of thrilling contest against two big European
sides. The best side in Spain against the best side in Italy.
Yeah, we almost worried that they might cancel each other out, but Inter could have been anyone. They were just passengers in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Eto'o, I don't think he got a touch in the first. It was unbelievable.
No.
But it was a great game. It really was enjoyable. And like you say, it's weird because even like Maicon, he's a superb footballer, he just wasn't in the game. Eto'o wasn't in the game. Melito wasn't in the game. Cambiaso got dragged at half time.
Even Julio Cesar, the keeper, made a bit of an error for them.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I mean, it was
just overwhelmed.
It was a good game. And Barcelona really did show their stuff. Probably for the... It's the first time I've seen this season be that good, you know.
But what's great is, well, all around the city, they take such pride in the club. I mean, obviously, they're such a great club, but there is a real kind of community feel about it. You feel a bit sorry for Espanyol. They don't really seem to get
I felt so sorry for them. We were in one of those shops on the main strip, and they were selling merchandise, football merchandise, and it was like three walls of all Barcelona merch. Anything you could think of. Barcelona crisps, Barcelona everything. Yeah. And there was literally...
I believe the crisps came first, and then they built the club after.
They did, they built on... It was a very firm footing for a football club. Mm. And right on the bottom of one cabinet was like a little Espanyol pennant and a replica Espanyol shirt, and that was it.
It's a shame. But let's talk about the last week's Premiership action. And we've had loads of emails about Jimmy Bullard's celebration. Because it was superb.
It was wonderful.
I think
it was
amazing.
Soon after, someone emailed in and said, "Oh, the death of the celebration," this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Loads of people were saying, "Oh, can't believe you've said that. You've put your foot in there because look at that celebration." And loads of other people have gone, "Jimmy Bullard listens to the ramble. Jimmy Bullard listens to the football ramble, definitely." Yeah.
That's the rational side of it.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to the football ramble.
But he will. We'll have him on
if
you.
If he had the choice of football podcastery,
we'd definitely be in the top five, Pete. It's a great celebration.
It's a good point as well.
It was. Well, Man City are drawing all over the place.
They are like graffiti artists.
Like Tony Hart.
Do you think Mark Hughes, is he in real trouble there?
I kind of feel sorry for Mark Hughes because he's constantly being forced to defend these ridiculous things, like sort of spending 12 or 17 or whatever million it was on agents' fees, just the sort of the situation of him not really knowing who's coming in and out of the club, Craig Bellamy in general. Do you know what I mean? Just all these really weird things where, because he's always struck me as a sort of no-nonsense manager before going to City. He's always spoken as he's found, and you know, City at the moment are the just antithesis of no-nonsense. There is nonsense all over the walls.
Well, Gary Cook's latest howler. His woeful jib continues.
Welcome back, Gary.
Yeah. What did he do? He was inducting Uwe Rösler into the Man City Hall of Fame.
Rightfully so.
Long awaited.
Yeah, and said, welcome. He's been a great servant for Manchester United. Which, in fairness, is only a little bit of a Freudian slip. It's a completely accidental thing, but the fact that it's
nearly
him,
good enough.
No, exactly. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Really, really.
If you're going to get one word right, it's City. just get City right, and everyone will be fine.
Get Manchester wrong, and it's not as bad.
No, exactly.
Oh, no. Liverpool City would have been less offensive. You know.
The PR guff that they put out. There's a bit in it that says, "I've got it here." It says, "This shows that Gary is only human. He isn't this automated marketing man who has come in from Nike. It shows that he's exactly that."
What
nonsense statement.
If he had bought into the club's aesthetic and stuff like that and really taken that sort of thing on board since he's been there, I mean, you can't imagine him making that. I mean, part of me thinks, okay, it's only a slip of the tongue. We've all done it. Mm. But
we do it every flipping week.
Without fail. Yeah. It was Gary Cook that did this, wasn't it? Wasn't like Sue Cook.
Wasn't Captain Cook.
Yeah. Oh, I feel sorry for I know what you're saying about Mark Hughes, though. I think that it's a weird one because I sort of, most managers would love to have like an open checkbook and be able to do what they want. But with that, you know, as we've said before, does come the pressure. And if you don't deliver the results, I mean, they were targeting sort of top four. They weren't obviously seriously targeting the league, but I mean, top four even looks a little bit tricky for them now. They can't turn draws into wins.
Yeah, they just keep losing concentration, though. That's the weird thing. Last 10 minutes, you just seem to lose it.
Well, I'll even go further than that. I'll say, look, to be fair, you're shelling out massive amounts of cash for sort of Joe and Lescott on Wayne Bridge. Now, are they?
Yeah.
Even Kolo Touré's not been the same since since he had his illness and his bad injuries. So you're three out your back four there. There's big question marks over.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's not going to help you out, is it? You're going to concede goals.
Yeah. They got off to a flyer. And, I mean, weirdly, it looked like they kind of instantly gelled, but clearly that isn't the case. But I think City will definitely pick up. I mean, they've only lost once, and that was in that very, very odd Manchester derby.
Yeah.
I mean, I do expect them to get better, but I agree. Well, I mean, it's going to be tough. They're facing a challenge to sort of break the top four now, whereas, you know, earlier on it looked like they might romp to it.
You're losing 2 points every single time you draw a game, though, do you know what I mean?
Do you think Liverpool are going to get back into the top four? Have they turned the screw?
I was reading the column from a financial journalist who wasn't connected with Liverpool or even football, and he was saying that, you know, he's looked at the accounts and looked at lots of different things, and he says, this was shortly after they got knocked out of the Champions League, and he said they can afford, I mean, they budget to get to the quarterfinal of the Champions League, but they can afford to be knocked out early, but the problem comes when it happens twice in a row. So if we don't qualify for the Champions League next season, what he was effectively saying is they're bang in trouble. They're in all sorts of trouble. And we know that they're already financially a little bit iffy. So the thing is, you look at their squad and you look at the games they're dropping points in and the games they've got coming up. I mean, they'll obviously get 6 points beating Pompey twice. But apart from that, you know, they don't really look like they've got a squad. And we said at the beginning of the season, their squad's nowhere near as good as Tottenham's, for example.
No, that's
right. You know, and they're already, I know, they're only about 4 or 5 points off Champions League places, aren't they? But, yeah. I mean, the thing is, they were talking of winning the league.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Other thing I wanted to say about Liverpool just quickly is that, not only the financial side of it, it's all linked together, because is Fernando Torres going to be happy with not playing the Champions League?
Well, absolutely.
Either? Yeah, he's not going to be happy playing the Europa League. They're not going to want to play Thursday nights in Moscow or whatever. So it all adds up. It all goes together. Then they want to leave. So then if Torres wants to leave, who else is going to leave? Benitez will then leave.
But he might be sold. If they need the money, they're going to have to sell Torres. And Benitez says, I will go if Torres is sold, you know.
Well, he might even be sort of setting himself up with an exit route there. If Torres is sold. I mean, it's a big shout to say that Liverpool won't qualify for the Champions League this season. I know they're struggling now, but as we've said, they're not far off the sort of top four. And there's a long, long way to go yet. And if they put a run together now, which I think they probably will after beating Everton, then you never know. It'll probably be very, very predictable by the end of the season.
No, I think you're right. It does. You do get a bit of that at the beginning of each season. Oh, look at this, look at that. Yeah. Liverpool, I agree, are completely capable of going like a 10 or 11 game winning streak. Yeah. I completely agree with that.
And so are Chelsea.
God, yeah.
Still my tips for the title.
fair enough. But
it's theirs to throw away already, you could argue.
I mean, 3-0 at Arsenal, that's good form, you know what I mean?
It's a very strong, dominant performance by them, but Arsenal are their own worst enemy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's particularly against Chelsea. If Didier Drogba played for Arsenal, he'd score an own goal in every game. He couldn't help it. He just has got Arsenal's number, hasn't he?
Yeah. I said it before, he's a horrific player to play against. He must be. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you've got Anelka as well, it must be a nightmare. Pace, it's easy to see.
I mean,
Chelsea's squad, their players are all at the right age. You know,
they're brutes as well.
Yeah,
they're strong.
They're big physical guys, and they've just got so much strength and depth.
But the thing about Arsenal is the same thing I was saying about some players for Tottenham and maybe some other clubs, is that they can do it against sort of lesser teams. Yeah. And in a way, Arsenal can do it against the top teams, provided they're not too physical. Whereas you look at a side with sort of Nasri, Danilson, Walcott, Eduardo in it. These are all great players. Yeah. Mm. But if they come up against players of the physicality of Chelsea, they almost get bullied.
Lest we forget, though, last season when Barcelona were the best team on the planet, probably, you know, they only just scrape past Chelsea in the semi-final, you know. So, okay, Hiddink was in charge there, but you are right, though, that kind of...
And they just got straight past with some outrageous refereeing decisions as well. You've got to remember that. Chelsea, I think, you know, they've got to be... This is going to be a really golden chance for them to win the Champions League. Mm. And I think they'll walk the league this season. I don't think Man United are as strong as them. No. If they can get... This is their best chance of winning the Champions League, in my opinion. Ancelotti's got great form in the Champions League as well.
Mm. I mean, it really, really does look as if Chelsea and Man United are on just a different level from everybody else. And it's becoming evident very, very quickly as the league sort of unravels. I think United are probably missing a striker, though, to challenge Chelsea. Maybe Diego Forlán.
Can we rule out Portsmouth?
Yeah, Portsmouth have ruled themselves out.
Well, don't be too hasty.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, Avram Grant's just taken charge of Portsmouth. And if he didn't need any more encouragement, you know, David James has likened him to Yoda from Star Wars. He says he's like Yoda. His pearls of wisdom are far-reaching. He speaks a lot of sense.
Yoda doesn't speak any sense.
No. Hang on a minute. We'll talk about this afterwards.
What do you know about Star Wars?
All the boxes for a relegation-bound team have been ticked.
Yeah.
Playing quite well, but never winning. Unable to defend even the most sort of cursory of free-kick deliveries. Not taking chances. Sacked their manager and got another one in. He's a little bit personality-less.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
Yeah, Nigel Kwadji, and then you're away.
All they've got to do is sign Nigel Kwadji, and they'll be away.
There you go. I thought Lee Bowyer scored a really good goal.
He did, didn't he?
By anyone's standards,
he's got five goals this season, Lee Bowyer.
Lazarus, who was supposed to be quitting, wasn't he?
Was it? Yeah, he was talking of that, weren't they? Yeah.
Weren't they talking of that from other people wanting him to quit? Yeah.
Possibly and
just
probably.
Just give it up.
Do you remember Birmingham fans had that big petition against signing Lee Bowyer a couple of seasons ago when it initially looked like he was going to go there? Egg on your faces.
Yeah, I bet you all celebrated that goal, didn't you?
Probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I bet, though, Pete, you're celebrating that Newcastle are top of the Championship.
Yeah.
Top of the league, so you are top of the league.
I mean, they've been up there all season, but still.
Yeah, I just sort of fear for our goal difference. I don't think we'll go up as champions. I think we'll go up second, because I think West Brom...
Beggars can't be
all right, I'm just saying...
Immediately.
I want a bit of silverware. But yeah, I think we're looking all right. I think we're waiting for Amiobi to come back, and I never thought we'd say that. But I mean, but yeah, it would be nice to get to see Niall Rangers score a goal.
Attendances have been great as well for Newcastle.
And the amount of guff that came out saying that it was going to be 25,000.
They're averaging about 47,000.
Yeah, 48, I think. Yeah,
great stuff. We've got nothing else to do. So.
Oh, naughty! Are they
having a petition to see if they can play a game every single day? There's nothing else to do.
Come on, hey! Sorry. Leeds are top of League One. We talked about Leeds the other.
Leeds and Charlton are going to walk that division, and so will Newcastle and
Southampton are 20th in League One.
Come on, Southampton!
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute.
It's outrageous.
They've had.
I know they've had the points.
Massive points. They've only lost about one in 11 games.
No, I know, but it's just like
they're 4 points off playoffs or something.
The reason why I exclaim.
Oh, 4 points off mid-table. Sorry.
The reason why I exclaim is just. You know, a sort of Premiership club of yesteryear, 20th in League One. I know, of course.
Stop it!
Boys.
You're going to make me cry.
I'll take my foot off you.
It's like we said the other week, though. Once you get relegated from the Premier League, if you don't get to grips with it straight away, this can happen. It's a slippery slope.
Well, what I will say is, without getting too political, is the same sort of week that's published that 70 million quid's been paid on an agent's fees for a season.
It's a good investment.
Look at the amount of money that is not being put into grassroots football. Right. The amount of money that's not being used to sort of prop up ailing clubs. Now, I know they've been a victim of their own sort of downfall in a certain way, and it is their own fault, but the regulation's not there. The thing that frustrates me most is that, one, the money is obviously there in the game and it's not being used correctly, and two, unscrupulous people are allowed to get these national institutions in some cases, and at the very least focal points of communities in other cases, to just be running to the ground. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
No, of course it is. Well, they've always
had pretty decent managers as well. I think I've never understood how they managed to.
They dropped a massive bollock with that stadium. That's what they did. They took a loan out for a stadium. It went a bit wrong, but
well, let's move on from money grabbing people and unscrupulous characters in the game. FIFA.
he's good, isn't he?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Are we the only show that sort of celebrates our own links?
I hope so. They've rejected Ireland's plucky plea for an extra place at the World Cup.
How is that ever going to work?
I don't even understand it.
Do you know what? Right, I just the thought of FIFA and the FAI talking about an extra place at the World Cup.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of sort of someone who's acted like a bit
Delboy
of a dick
and
at a party. Right?
Sell their souls.
I'm not having a go at the Irish in particular because I'm sure they're as embarrassed as the rest
FAI
of us.
But it's like
the FAI. Yeah, have acted like dicks at a party. Yeah, and they've been told to leave, and they sort of knock the door again, going, "Do you want to just sit in the hallway?" I promise I won't make any noise. I won't even have a drink.
Yeah. I sort of imagine that they've just sort of blasted in there and gone like, we want to be the 33rd team in the World Cup, and FIFA have gone, well, why is that going to work? That's for you to sort out! I would really love to know what the proposal actually was, because what is that, just a fifth team in one group?
Yes, like, really.
Screw that group.
Costa Rica sort of went, wow, that's a great idea, we'll be the 34th. Yeah, that makes it even, though, doesn't work like that.
And the Faroe ones probably go, we want to be the 138th. And if it comes to that,
but Scotland, so we want to be 139.
Yeah.
England are like, we want two teams in there.
Yeah. I think that
England and the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. FIFA have also been a bit like naughty, and I don't know if they've done it just to annoy Ireland, but they said now they're going to retrospectively look at Thierry Henry's conduct. And it's a bit like, well, come on, you know, play with a straight bat here, chaps.
They've also said that they're not going to introduce extra referees or any sort of video technology at the World Cup. And I mean, video technology obviously is a can of worms, but extra referees, surely, there's clearly a problem. Is it that big a step?
Is the World Cup a place to sort of try run that sort of thing?
Well, exactly.
If you're a referee, I'd be dead against it to try run in the World Cup. But maybe extra officials wouldn't be such a big deal. But I mean, I don't know if I'd like to see it be. I mean, it was sort of done in the UEFA Cup, and it didn't really do anything.
Yeah, Europa League. Going back to the Irish thing, the FAI and I think Liam Brady were very angry with FIFA because they said, you know, these discussions of an extra place at the World Cup, they were private and confidential, and I can't believe. Basically, they've tried to pike something in there, and the FIFA have turned around and said it to everyone. No, you've made us look silly.
Yeah, but now they're making themselves look more and more silly by even revealing that this was meant to be kept in private. They'd gone in there knowing it was embarrassing.
It's a can of worms, James.
Didn't they sort of say that Blatter supported them, in theory, or something?
It's exponential,
like
and it's ridiculousness.
I don't know. Now, at the time of recording, the World Cup draw hasn't happened, but one thing that we can say is that Maradona won't be there because he's been warned away. The FIFA Secretary General.
It's still a bold, bold prediction to say that he won't be there. He'll probably, probably crash in through the roof.
In disguise.
Well, he said that Jerome Valka said that Maradona has been officially banned from all football activities. It's not just a ban for friendly matches or official matches, it's for all football activities. If he appears now as a journalist for a media company, again, his accreditation will not be delivered by FIFA. If he's asking for accreditation, I can tell you no way.
It's a bit petty.
I just love how they suddenly thought, oh, hang on, he might turn. We better tell him.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I'm not defending Maradona's actions in this particular case, as we've discussed previously, but I'm not saying any special dispensation for people, but he's one of the greatest footballers of all time. I mean, part of me, there's a real sort of football purist in me who just wants to say to that suit, what have you ever done, mate?
You know,
is the draw going to be a really much worse place that Maradona's going to be there? You know,
why are you trying to stop it?
Maybe, yeah. It could all go wrong.
It attracts mental amounts of attention, not just through football. You know what I mean?
What they should do to stop him turning up is have the draw in Italy, where he owes about 20 million euros in tax. He won't turn up then.
He'll have his tracksuit taken off his back.
Yeah.
Sepp Blatter was talking about England's World Cup bid, and he said that Dybeck is vital to this bid. He said they have to use him for everything, forever.
What, even as a stadium?
Well, everything forever.
As a right back?
Well, yeah, I think we can all agree
on that.
Would
it stretch to that far?
If they don't, they are not very intelligent. I mean,
read the quote again, for everything ever.
They have to use him for everything forever.
Does he ever say in it?
Even if he's dead.
Yeah.
Stuff him and
literally
get
literally wheel out
I
his
mean,
corpse.
He said, I've been working in FIFA for 35 years!
That's longer than we've all been alive.
And I know a good guy for big occasions. Now, to me, one should be looking at a country's infrastructure, stadia. Yeah.
I'm getting a bit tired of this crap, to be honest. Can't they not just hand it out now? Why do they have to go through this rigmarole of just everybody going, I will give you this hamburger, I will give you this.
I was thinking about this the other day, Pete, but then a sort of part of me thought, I hope we don't sort of derail the cup bid. they think, oh, I know what I'll do. One of the FIFA delegates, this is like on my iPod. I'll download the Football Ramble. What's this?
They don't want it. Jack Warner's put it on his stolen iPod.
Hope it exploded in his head.
Which was given to him by FA Chief Lord Treisman as a gift, as a bung.
One thing that wouldn't happen in England if we did get the World Cup, which may happen in South Africa, is that the stadiums might be blessed by slaughtering a cow in each one.
And not when the game's on.
Half time, crossbar challenge in a cow.
You don't want to be on the counter attack and get chopped down by a stray machete.
Well, it's Makonya Royal Trust who put forward the idea. They described the cattle killing ritual as a true African way of blessing the 2010 tournament. And a government minister has said that he's going to lobby FIFA in support of the plan.
It's a really, really tough sort of situation, that, isn't it? Because on one hand, it's completely repugnant and horrible and wrong, but it is a slap in the face to South Africa to say, actually, your customs are a bit stupid.
Yeah,
so if you could
difficult.
Not do that, it's you've really got to be careful.
Absolutely.
If England has it in 2018, are we going to bring back like public hanging or something?
A point of village idiot to every town.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you volunteering, Joe?
got that one. No, Romford, I'm never getting that one. I'm not going to go for East London.
That'd be top 100.
I just think that killing a cow is truly secondary to those bloody horns they use.
Oh, yeah!
Stop them first.
The Vuvuzela.
I mean, do you think with... I don't know. Do you think they're trying to milk this idea?
Oh, God.
Come on.
Here we go.
What's your beef, man?
Hey! Well done. We talked earlier about our trip to Barcelona. Well, we're going to go back there briefly and talk about Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And the big game bottler got the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Rubbish.
What's
though.
He ever
still
done?
Rubbish. He's
What's
not
he
up
done?
To it.
No,
yeah. Doesn't look right.
Yeah, it was very, very satisfying
it's a wonderful
to see
Ibrahimovic finish.
Get on the end of that one.
It was a wonderful finish.
Great cross ball.
And
Danny Alves.
It's Danny Alves, yeah. He found him, yeah.
Again, an amazing option down the right.
Yeah.
I love Danny Alves.
Real Madrid, and it was...
I love him.
He is a diving little gremlin, but he's a great player.
Diving little gremlin, good one.
Barcelona did well to hold on as well, because obviously they're down to 10 men. And the old Pompey Hall of Famer, Lassana Diarra, got sent off late on as well.
He did, yeah.
Busquets got sent off as well, didn't he?
For Barca, yeah.
Tempestuous.
Mm. About half hour left.
There was a little bit of argy-bargy between Iniesta and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Apparently Ronaldo, Iniesta said, it annoyed me that Cristiano told me not to dive because he is not exactly the best person to tell anyone that.
Ooh!
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, you bet.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it really was, I mean, to coin a cliche, it was a game of two halves. The first half was really sort of slow and a little bit sort of bitty and a bit boring, and it really sprung to life until everything happened in the second half. And I think Zlatan's goal. There's a campaign online for one of the boys who's on the old Facebook page to start calling him Zebra.
Zebra?
Oh, yeah. Like that. Yeah, yeah. So maybe we could adopt that. Yeah, and it was a goal fitting of a winner of a game of that size, because it wasn't an easy ball to hit first time on your left peg, and he's done well with it. I mean, to be fair, the cross made it, but it's that to finish it off. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Your mum makes you a lovely dinner, you still got to eat it. That's what I'm saying.
What a confusing analogy. Yeah. I like it.
I tell you what, it's very tight though. The top five in Spain: Barca on 30, Real on 28, Sevilla 26, Valencia 25, and Deportivo on 25.
Mm. Mm. I still think Sevilla have got the strongest chance of breaking up that top two, but even then, I don't think they will.
Sure. No. Incidentally, David Villa has been given the price tag of €88 million.
It's just it annoys me when things like this happen, because obviously that price tag is just there to scare clubs off. But as soon as you even just enter that amount into the sort of public arena, it gets agents thinking and it gets clubs thinking. It's like, right, that is a feasible sort of transfer fee that you could pay for someone, especially because Ronaldo went for so much money. And this stupid sort of brinkmanship is pushing up the transfer fees. And it makes me mad.
I also think, I'd agree with that, but I'd add to it that it's a bit disingenuous in reality anyway, because no decent quality international footballer is really going to risk a move in January, 6 months ahead of a World Cup. Because if it doesn't go right and you don't settle in, or you have a bit of a bad time of it and you're not playing football for the last 3 months of the season, who's going to risk that? You know, no one would do that.
You can kiss goodbye La Selección.
Exactly. I even saw Luis Fabiano saying exactly the same thing a couple of weeks ago, saying that, you know, I do want to move to the Premier League. I think it will suit my game, blah, blah, blah. Or I wouldn't want to go to Milan, all that sort of stuff. But there's no way I'm going for the World Cup. Not a chance, you know. Luis Fabiano has been the sort of first choice striker for Brazil for about 18 months. There's no way he's going to jeopardise that ahead of a World Cup.
Absolutely not. Lionel Messi won the Ballon d'Or, unsurprisingly.
Mm. Not bad, that Messi. He's my tip. He's my young player to watch.
Yeah. He'd never done it in the Premier League, Marcus.
No, of course not.
I think a middling championship.
Cristiano Ronaldo, he's moved and he can only come second now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, proof. Exactly. I think Messi would probably start off at a middle championship club, get a bit of experience in the English game, show him what it's all about.
So bloody stupid.
Sorry.
Iniesta and Xavi, I forget they were third and fourth.
Four out of the top five. Iniesta, Xavi, Eto, who's obviously moved on, and Messi. And Cristiano Ronaldo was the only other one, wasn't it?
Mm.
I just think that, call me old fashioned, but Messi seems like quite a nice bloke as well.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm pleased for him. But he won it by a record margin, didn't he?
Mm.
It's not surprising.
But yeah, it's such a massive, massive amount of votes. But I mean, he was outstanding, just obviously the best player in Europe or the world last season. I mean, you know, he got a goal or an assist in every game he played.
It's amazing.
That's incredible.
Sorry, but David Nugent's on the front. He wants a world, yeah. Was he in the top 10, David Nugent? Shortlist?
He was in my top 10. I don't know whether
that's all that counts.
He's across the board.
The Ballon speller.
Can we go to Serie A?
Mm. Go on then.
Thank you.
Make the noise though, as if we're flying out there.
The doors are open.
It's the Pete plane. What Pete was doing on the plane was he was getting the sick bags, right, and he was drawing faces on them and pretending to do little puppet shows. Oh, that's what I had to do.
He kept claiming it was the pilot. One minute the pilot was happy, then he was very angry.
Yeah. It's good in the what is it called? I was going to say the air nurse, the people that come up and down to see you if you're all right and stuff. Put your seatbelt on. What do you call them?
Flight attendant.
Yeah. Sexist.
You called him a nurse.
He told me to take it out of the window.
Did
he? Told me to take the captain out of the window.
He had to wind the window up.
Well, if he doesn't see.
Oh dear.
Yeah. My giddy aunt. It's Serie A. I'm pleased to say that Jan-Klaas Huntelaar scored for Milan.
What a!
It was a beauty.
He got a couple,
wasn't it?
Oh, that was superb.
It was 0-0 against Catania. And 90th minute. Huntelaar had only come on at about the 82nd, 83rd minute. And he was reasonably fortunate. Keeper probably should have done better. Scored in the 90th. And they got up the other end. And what a goal.
It was sort of going away from goal along the penalty area.
On the edge of the corner of the box.
He sort of reverse chipped him into the far corner.
It was absolutely super.
Like someone said, it was Van Basten-esque. The Albert. It was Van Basten-esque, as someone rightly said, you know.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
I hope he starts getting a chance now, because the only thing that sort of keeps me. Because I really like Huntelaar as a player. The only thing that sort of keeps me sane regarding him is that if he's not quite having a good time of it in Milan, still in, say, 6 months' time or a year's time, he may get a move to the Premier League. Well, I think he'd be a success. I genuinely think someone at Arsenal, I think he'd be a really good
player. Yeah.
He's like Bentner, but like 10 times better.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for him to keep moving around to all these absolutely massive clubs, feeling that he's not cutting it. It's going to dent his confidence so badly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Milan are up to second now on the table, 7 points behind Inter, above Juve. So Leonardo. Turning it around.
They're doing all right. They've got a good recent run.
And still got Dybala to come.
Exactly. Yeah.
Elsewhere in Italia, Francesco Totti's new contract is for 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years.
That is loads of years.
Yeah.
Yes, but he's 33. The second five would be as a director rather than a player.
He's a one-club man. He's being rewarded for his loyalty, Marcus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He scored 9 goals in 9 league. Matches this
he's got
season.
About. I think he's got about 18 goals this season in all competitions.
He's got a few in the Europa
League.
He's got a couple of
hat-tricks, yeah.
He's considering maybe World Cup.
Do I think he's a wonderful footballer? I really do. I think that, you know, he's thinking about coming out of retirement. I don't know what the situation is with Lippi, whether he'll get in the squad. Presumably he will. He's performed a very different role for the national side as he does at Roma. But lots of people say he hasn't really done anything for Italy, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Roma, the side is built around him, so he's obviously the focal point of that. They're playing like a weird 4-1-4-1 formation for a long time with him as a focal point of it. And Italy has to do a very different job, so his goal scoring record isn't as good. But I mean, you know, he was brilliant when they won the World Cup. He had to be, you know. So I can't see how people say he hasn't replicated that form. He has. It's just a different role. That'd be my take on it.
Now then, listeners, we've mentioned the wonderful Barry Fry before on the show a number of times. Well, this show is no exception.
Oh my! It's Barry Fry
in on the sly.
Oh. Eating a pie, possibly.
Make me cry.
One too many.
That's all about that.
Pete, you're holding the newspaper. Tell
I'm
us
holding the newspaper. Me and Jim were reading some newspapers in reception to the Ramble Record Hut.
Don't.
there's a piece by big old Martin Samuel for the Daily Mail.
Two seat Samuel. Actually.
That's the rumours. Yes. There's a little piece about he's talking to Karen Brady, obviously, at late of Birmingham, and she was relating a story about Barry Fry. She says, I can remember Barry Fry asking for the money for Ricky Otto from Southend United.
That's funny in itself.
He's not worth money. He said he needed a forward. David Sullivan said to me, I'm sure he's a winger. But no, Barry insisted that Ricky Otto was a forward.
Well, he didn't check. It's so, his money, didn't check.
So they went ahead and bought him. A month or so later, Barry was back in the office again. We've got a problem with Ricky Otto. What's that, Barry? He's more of a winger than a forward. We need a forward.
Just check on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. They still work in the world of facts and stuff, don't they? Yeah. Look at our facts and work out where Ricky Otto plays. Oh, no one. All right, sign him.
David Dean said to Karen, never believe them when they say just one more player. It's never just one more player. Which I quite like.
I can empathise with that, obviously, being a supporter of a club who had Harry Redknapp in charge for so long. Emails of the week.
It is emails. Woo, yeah.
All right.
Let's do them. Lukey Moore.
This is an email from Sam Major. I believe it's pronounced Major. Apologies if not, Sam. Dear Football Ramble, ho!
Hey.
James? I was very pleased that your interview with Dean Windass a couple of weeks ago helped me turn my weekly six-a-side game on its head.
Explain.
After an hour of playing in goal, as usual, I got bored and decided to go up front. I'm receiving the ball at halfway. I mean, I hopefully told his sort of playing teammates about that. Mm. I proceeded to do a Ronaldo-esque step-in.
Ooh.
Followed by a Kaká-esque round the world to win a corner. A couple of minutes later, after already bagging one goal, the familiar first-to-three goals wins came in. I remember Dean Windass saying defenders are pulled into the box, so I stepped out as one of my teammates ran in, the keeper saved, and I knew my time had come. The ball bounced up and I hit a perfect Steven Gerrard volley bouncing into the ground before it flew into the top corner. Still in search of the hat-trick, I got the ball 20 yards out, hearing shouts of pass it, I thought, not this time. This is a six-a-side game, by the way, 20 yards out. Yeah. So he's probably in his own half. I sent a trademark low curly shot into the bottom corner.
You've been in goal for it.
the type of goal that's earned me my nickname of Mourginho. Needless to say, the winner was much appreciated by the rest of my team. Oh, he sounds like a fairly nice chap. Yeah. I told them not to thank me, but Dean Windass and the Football Ramble. Keep up the good work, Sam Mourginho Major, a goalkeeper never knowingly lobbed.
Another one.
Great
nice.
Email.
Another one indeed.
Cool. I'm going to start a little sort of group of keepers who've never been knowingly lobbed. Yeah, we can meet like a quarterly or something.
James or Jim?
Morning, Ramble Force. Presumptuous, but I like it.
Oh.
Just a quick note to mention that Walter Toll, formerly of Folkestone in Kent, will be honoured in the town on the 11th of December.
Oh, my plaque... This is a Dean Windass Hall of Fame, isn't it?
Indeed. Toll, of course. A plaque will be unveiled by MP Michael Howard at the town's bandstand. I think this is probably due to his induction into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Jason Harding. Folkestone in Kent. That's really nice.
Yeah,
it's nice that it's taking place on a bandstand. That's very quaint.
Yeah.
I woke up on a bandstand once. It was horrible.
And in Kent, the Garden of England.
Yeah, it is. He's rightly said that.
Was what Walter Tull would have wanted.
Yeah.
So there we are. Pete.
Hey, I got one. This is from Andrew Rea in Bangor, County Down.
Bangor.
He says, Ramaphos, hi. I just thought I'd let you know of a Facebook group I've just created. It's called Bring Back Barry Davies for South Africa 2010.
Oh! I am instantly pleased.
I'm very pleased. A little too pleased.
If you find it... You can find it quite easy. Just type Barry Davies for South Africa 2010 into the Facebook search bar. And it's my intention to get so many Ramblers that I'll be able to persuade the BBC or even ITV that it's in the country's best interests that Sir Barry Davies commentates, not only through the competition, but also in the final.
That would be so good.
And I would also really appreciate the backing of the Football Ramble and it's all its listeners to help me with this cause.
Absolutely.
I haven't been able to complete the profile as much as I'd like, but in the near future, I'd like the group to discuss favourite Barry Davies moments and just why he deserves just one more shot in the limelight.
Well, we did a profile on Barry Davies, so I think our favourite moment's probably been there.
Yeah.
Andrew Rea.
Everything. The bit when he was born to now.
Yeah. Andrew Rea, the Ramble, and I guess Barry Davies salute you.
Salute you.
With both hands.
Oh, Facebook group.
Well, I think I know, but where's the old goodie bag going to go?
It's going to go to Barry Davies.
Why have they got emailed in Andrew Rea?
Absolutely, Andrew. That is it's made my ramble.
Well done. Championship manager goodie bag on the way to you, sir.
Hello, I'm Dean Windass, and this is my Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Oh, let's go. Georgie Hadji.
Good, good choice.
I love him.
Talking about World Cups, and I remember this man being a World Cup legend.
Golden left peg.
Of recent years, yeah. Born 5th of February 1965.
2 years.
Before the summer of love.
Yep. Yeah.
Sperm race, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All that.
Good, yep. Marvellous. Move on. He's, of course, a former Romanian footballer and is regarded by many as one of the top attacking midfielders of the 90s. And maybe even late 80s. Dare I say.
I think his peak was probably... Well, you're going to go on to it. But I'd say his peak was sort of 93... Maybe a
controversial.
Bit controversial. Well, I'll make my dates all over the place. You've got the facts. You tell us.
Facto.
Yeah.
Well, he's arguably the best Romanian footballer of all time.
Inarguably, almost.
Yeah.
I'd say.
And this is
I
man...
have a deep knowledge of Romanian football. Yeah, yeah. I don't think there are many others.
Yeah.
The fans used to call him the Maradona of the Carpathians.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the mountain range across Central and Eastern Europe.
Transylvania, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
It is, yeah.
I think it would be more difficult to be a Maradona on a hill.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
you're not that pitch.
You're not doing so many favours, are you?
Yeah. Of course, he was a attacking midfielder of the 80s and 90s, and quite exquisite passing, one might say. Great ball control.
I'd say so, yeah. Mm. I mean, as an attacking footballer, he really had everything in his locker. He had wonderful control, as you said. He had the ability to weigh in with his fair share of goals.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great passing
range. What a long range shot.
And he was also completely nuts as well, which also helps.
This is prerequisite.
He was a man for the big stage as well. He liked to perform.
A classic number 10.
Yeah, he was, guy. Yeah. Mm.
Real playmaker. He started playing football very young, as we all do.
Mm.
And despite his small frame and his sort of fragile look, he had fantastic technique from very young. And he would play in leagues and for teams with kids who were 3 or 4 years older than him, which is quite something, mm-hmm. you know, when you're very young.
And he was a small guy, when he grew up.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have been particularly tough.
That's right, yeah. At the age of 17, he was selected for Farol Constanța's senior team, who are Romanian side. And he didn't even manage a season there because the Bucharest-based team, Sportul Studențesc, came in for him. And he spent 4 seasons there, and that's when he became a real big name in Romanian football. And he was top scorer for the club. Well, he was there with no less than 58 goals in 107 matches.
Wow.
Great.
Bearing in mind, he's not a striker.
That's great. Yeah.
He's a midfielder. And in the winter of 87, he was transferred to the big Romanian club, Steaua Bucharest, who were, at the time, European Cup holders, which is amazing to think.
Yes, yeah. It wouldn't happen now, would it?
Absolutely not. He was signed by their team as they were preparing for the European Super Cup final against Dynamo Kiev. And the original contract was that he would... It was just for one game, that final. Now, bearing in mind, this is the European Cup holders.
What, and he signed it?
Have signed a player for one match.
Is this to do with that Gigi Becali nutcase?
Yeah, it probably might have been, actually, yeah.
Your guess is as good as I think, on this one. So, he did play in the final. The final ended 1-0.
Yeah. Who scored the goal, Marcus?
Georgie Hadji.
On his debut.
Thanks very much. Did he get a testimonial?
So, yeah, so as you can imagine, the store didn't want to release him back to Sportul, and they held on to him. And he was at Stoif between 87 and 90, and he played 97 league games for them, scored 76 goals.
That's great stuff.
A midfielder.
That's great stuff. Attacking midfielder, yeah.
Absolutely.
He's weighing in.
And Stoia, you know, were a big powerhouse. You know, he reached the European Cup semi-finals with them in 88 in the final the following year. I think beaten by Milan.
Yeah, they were.
Sacchi's Milan.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah. And they were champions of Romania in 87, 88 and 89 and then won the Romanian Cup in those years as well. And his exploits for Stoia and his performances in the 1990 World Cup, I think we forget he was there.
You know, they got knocked out by the Republic of Ireland, David O'Leary's penalty.
Yeah. And there's some great footage actually on YouTube of him and Maradona on the same pitch, and they look reasonably similar. Yeah, both number 10s, both kind of sort of squat players.
That was a superb tournament, and Romania did awfully well. They got to the second round. And obviously Ireland went on to be knocked out by Italy, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So, as I said, you know, his performances for Steaua and the 1990 World Cup performances caught the eye of Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
And he was there for 2 seasons. I can't really remember him at Madrid, if I'm honest with you.
It was... would that have been for the 1991 season he signed for them?
That's right, it was after the 1990 World Cup.
I do remember signing it because I remember...
Well, 90 to 91.
Yeah, World Cup 90 was the first little tournament I really massively got into, and I remember thinking that Hadji was one of my favourites, and I remember him signing for them. Yeah.
He didn't really set the world on fire at Madrid, it has to be said. He did okay, but he found it quite hard to adapt to the Spanish game and the lifestyle. But he did score one goal, which was nearly from the halfway line for him, which was an absolute peach.
Some of the goals he scored have been absolutely wonderful efforts. let's make no bones about that. When you see like you bandy around things, oh, he scored 58 goals in 107 games and stuff, we're not talking about like a poacher of a striker here, like a Pippo Inzaghi. He would pick the ball up from deep, he would run at players, he would beat men, and he would smash the ball in the top corner. He was a superb player.
And he was great at a dink.
Oh, he loved a dink.
And his free kick taking was spectacular.
He was,
very much
he had
so.
such a good...
left foot that if he'd had two left feet, it would have been a positive thing.
He can open a can of beans with that left peg, I tell you.
Yeah. He was sold to Brescia after his time at Madrid. Who are in Serie B?
That's really weird, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Very strange.
But Italy, strange. I mean, you're talking about when Italy was a very strong country in terms of football then.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a club football.
And they were managed by Luchescu, who was one of his career mentors, so I would imagine that would
that's
have
probably why, yeah,
had some weight there. He helped them get promoted to Serie A, but unfortunately the next season they were relegated back to Serie B. But that was all in time for World Cup 94.
This is when he came into his own.
Now, I think this is when we all remember him.
Absolutely. I mean, it was him and Stoichkov that I really...
Oh, sorry.
They were my two favourite players.
They were quite similar, those
and
two.
And Baggio, actually. Yeah. There was a lot of good players.
Dumitrescu was a good player.
He played well in that tournament. He got a few goals.
Radicchio.
Dan Petrescu, obviously.
Dan Petrescu. Fox Mulder, yeah.
No, they had a few.
Hadji and Stoichkov were so similar. Similar sort of players. Completely batshit mental.
Both left-footed as well.
Yeah. Oh, Giorgio Hadji's left foot. I mean, you hear people talking about culture left foots. I mean, to coin a well known phrase, Giorgio Hadji's left foot would be reading like the complete works of Proust. It was so cultured. It really was cultured.
There was never a side foot, was there?
No,
it was always
caressed.
He never
struck the ball, Pete. He like delicately caressed it and bought it dinner before he popped it out to the wing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he scored that memorable goal against Colombia. From the touchline. Yeah. Did he mean it?
I'm going to give him it because I just want to. Yeah. But he does look up.
Pete, you reckon it's...
I think it is, yeah. Well, I think
Pete's in the camp, but it's definitely he meant it. But you do see him look up and you do see Dumitrescu running through. Mm. And you could argue that if it was anyone else... I mean, if it was Wayne Bridge doing
it... I'm in the camp,
it's
just enjoy it.
But if it's
Wayne Bridge. Yeah. Well, hang on. Why has he been mentioned?
Well, I'm just saying.
This is the profile.
Sorry. Should be sacred. Yeah. That is a Hadji, it's a goal. He meant it. Definitely.
I mean, if not, it was a waffle cross, and it was too direct to be a cross, I think. Yeah.
But it does massively swerve in the air, which gives you the impression he might have been aiming for a cross, but we'll never know.
We're giving him it.
Yeah,
and he'll take it. Yeah, absolutely he will. And Romania, of course, got to the quarterfinals in that World Cup.
They knocked out Argentina.
That was a great World Cup.
They did knock out Argentina in the second round. They got beaten off Sweden in the quarterfinals on penalties. So after these performances at World Cup 94, he was signed by Barcelona. And he's obviously in that small group of people who have played for Real and Barca.
Yeah. He's in illustrious company, Marcus.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at Barcelona, he got a few injuries, and his time wasn't as perhaps fruitful as it may have been. But he did score some great goals there. I remember he scored a free kick from what you would deem a crossing position. Straight over the keeper's head, top corner. Pop bang lovely.
Yeah, because at Barcelona, Hadji was at the club the same time as Stoichkov was.
Yeah,
the two Eastern European mentals. Imagine what that was like, you know.
Yeah. In fact, Romario might have
been. It was like, you know.
Romario, I think he'd left, I think.
Yeah, do you know the film Platoon, when you've got Sergeant Elias and Sergeant Barnes? And they were like warring factions with each other. I can imagine the personalities would be outrageous.
I think they'd be together.
You reckon?
Against the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And God help the rest of the world.
I'd like to think they only pass to each other.
That's all they needed.
Massive, like, 60-yard raking ball.
So after Barcelona, he was there for two seasons, he signed for Galatasaray. And he was phenomenally popular there. I mean, he still is regarded as an absolute legend in Turkey.
One of their all-time favourite players.
They've taken him as their own, really. I'm trying to claim him there. But, and very successful as well. Hadji and the manager, Fatih Terim, who went on to manage Turkey.
Yeah, he's a really illustrious manager.
In Euro 2008.
Yeah.
They kind of built the team, because he was a big part of that with the manager, I think. He used to consult him, whether that was through choice, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was a choice, yeah.
And they built the team, and they won four consecutive league titles. And they, of course, led Galatasaray to the UEFA Cup win in 2000, beating Arsenal in the final. Unfortunately, Hadji was sent off in that final.
But
they did win it. And they're the first Turkish club, of course, to achieve such a feat.
Yeah, well done to them.
And then the following year, they beat his former club, Real Madrid, in the European Super Cup final.
Class. Wow. He's got a great record in that tournament.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about his international career a little throughout. He started in the age of 18 in 1983. Was his first game, and he was a part of the Romanian setup until Euro 2000. He also played, we've mentioned 1990 and 94, he did play at the 98 World Cup, and he decided to retire from the national team after that, but he changed his mind. And
did a Henrik Larsson?
Yeah, Euro 2000, he was there. It was such a shame the way his international career kind of finished, really, because against Italy in the second round,
He was sent off for two bookable offences. The second one was a bit of a dive.
Oh, was it?
Mm. And
acrimonious.
And he left the field in rage.
Did he?
Yeah.
David Proton. Yeah. Remember David Proton did that for Southampton? He went absolutely nuts. Got like a 10-game ban.
Well, he may well have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, he left the field in anger and was a bit of a disgrace, yeah. Really, as he left.
How old are you? 35.
It's a bit fitting, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
He would have been 35. Yeah.
It's fitting, though.
Well, it's true. It had to be. It was a blaze of glory.
Yeah. he was fitting.
It's better to burn out than fade away.
Yeah, yeah. He also played at the European Championships in 84, 96, and of course, we said 2000 as well. He got 125 caps for Romania.
It's not bad, is it?
Second highest, and 35 goals for Romania, which I think might be their all-time top
scorer. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Had you retired from professional football in 2001 at the age of 36 in a game called Gala Hadji.
Nice.
On the 24th of April. So, and in 2001, he was named as the manager of Romania, but they failed to qualify for the World Cup and he was sacked. He did manage to get a win against Hungary in Budapest, which I think was the first time for a Romanian national side. After the Romania job, he went to Bursaspor. Managed them for a brief period. Went to manage Galatasaray.
He didn't tarnish his legacy there, did he?
He led them to the Turkish Cup.
Good
and
lad.
They, in the final, they beat Fenerbahce 5-1.
That's cracking. Did he bring himself on? I'd like to see him bring himself on for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, class. Absolute class. And that was the highlight of his managerial career, was winning the Cup.
It sounds like they're a match made in heaven, those two.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And he did also manage a couple of sides after that, including Steaua Bucharest. But I don't think he fared too well as a manager. And now I believe he's a UN ambassador.
He's a UN ambassador, isn't he? Yeah, I can't remember what his remit is exactly, but...
He's not a piece,
I don't think so, yeah. It's fair to say he hasn't really got the temperament for management. But I mean, I'm sure he's doing a lot of good work for the UN, you know. He seems like a good lad. He means well.
Absolutely.
He's kicking aid packages into countries. Yeah.
just meaning it.
Yeah. Healing the sick with his left foot is what he's doing.
I can only hope so. So, I mean, it's just remarkable, really. And often a lot of people say over his illustrious career that his best years were at Galatasaray.
Yeah.
When he was a bit older. And I shall end with a quote from the ex-France and international and ex-manager Luis Fernandez, who said, "Hadji is like wine. The older it gets, the better it is."
Oh, no.
George Hadji, come on in. Team Windass Hall of Fame.
Welcome. Welcome, you good man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been all right.
Do come again. Luke, Christmas drinks.
Yeah, just to bore everyone to death again, we are going to close the guest list for the Christmas drinks soon because loads of people want to come. You'll find all the details online. 3 p.m. to 11 p.m, King's Arms, nearest tube, Liverpool Street in London. Please email us with your names or for further information. It'll be lovely to see each and every one of you.
Now, it's worth noting that you have to get your name on the guest list to get in.
We can't stress that enough.
Peter, you've got something to say.
I've got lots to say, but you probably want me to talk about betway.com / the football ramble, which is where you can do all your bettings and stuff.
I'm having a shocker, boys. I've lost every single bet. I'm going United away to beat West Ham just to buy a bit of money back.
Desperate.
I'm losing touch with the rest of you.
Well, I keep getting 2 out of 3, right?
It's not good enough.
I've gone for another 3, and I'm going to do it.
You know, the West Ham are very much Man United's bogey team.
Yeah, but they can't defend. No, they can see a 3 to Burnley at home.
I've gone for Hull, Inter and Sunderland.
What, in a three-way death match?
Yeah, because I think Fulham are going to be exhausted after their Euro Bum League.
I know it was rebranded, but they called it that.
They're going to be exhausted. I mean, they're playing on Sunday, but still, they're going to be tired, I think. And
Anyway, betway.com/thefootballramble.
Try and beat our rubbish predictions.
If you just turn up, you've beaten us.
Yeah, you really have. Honestly, I've got to go because the bailiffs are coming.
Do they come now. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. It's all very straightforward. Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye, Lukey.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
We're all off to become the 33rd team at the World Cup finals. Ta-ta!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.